deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where we hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket, to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Mad Max's Slider Academy, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show. This is Victor Barreto from the American Scream documentary and Ghoulie Man and Haunted House in Taunton, Massachusetts, and you're listening to A Big Scary Show.
And I get it! It's The Big Scary Show!
This week, on a pre-holiday episode of The Big Scary Show. The holiday season is in full effect, so we take the time to wish each and every one of our listeners a happy and safe time of year. It's simply one more holiday to get through before Halloween rolls around again. We hope to relieve some of the stress of the season with some great haunt information, interviews, music, and more. We give someone a very scary Christmas by announcing the November winner of our gruesome giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Who's getting a great gift from The Big Scary Show? Stay tuned. Our special correspondent Dog Soldier touches base with the original Starship Trooper, Casper Van Dien, and gets his thoughts on his career and where you can find him on the big screen. Badger talks to Joe Moe, co-organizer of the Mad Monster Party, to find out how someone from Hollywood puts on a horror convention in Charlotte, and also what it was like to be the caretaker of the late, great Forrest J. Ackerman, who coincidentally passed away 4 years ago this week. He even hints at what to expect for the Mad Monster Party 2013. Badger also meets up with musician and author Lyle Blackburn, and they discuss his book about the legend of Boggy Creek and his band Ghoultown. Storm brings us another rant in a haunt minute. The unknown scare actor reminds you that you can always face your fears, even this time of year. The haunt rocker Jerry Vane spins some rockin' tunes to make your shopping easier. Badger brings you some info on some upcoming holiday hauntings in Deadline News. The Roundtable of Terror talks to Victor Barreto, one of the stars of the popular Halloween documentary, The American Scream, and we find out what it's like to have a film crew live at your house and pretty much all of your waking moments filming you. Victor's answers make this a not-to-be-missed show. All this, plus more, only on The Big Scary Show.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here live at Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky for The Big Scary Show again. And I've been walking past this table all night, and I knew something looked really, really familiar. This guy was a member of Ghoultown, a really kick-ass band from back in the day. And then I look over here and I see this book on Boggy Creek, and I'm remembering Boggy Creek. There was a Legend of Boggy Creek movie that came out. Turns out he's written a book on kind of the history of Boggy Creek, and he's a member of Ghoultown. Oh, my God. I got two of the best of both worlds here with Lyle Blackburn. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started with researching and writing a book on the Legend of Boggy Creek. You're not from Arkansas. You're from Texas, so... What made you interested in doing this?
Well, initially, I'd seen the movie when I was really young, and like a lot of people, I mean, it's totally scared me to death.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just fascinated with the
second one, not so much.
No. We won't talk about that one.
No, we won't.
They're good to make fun of, but, yeah, not so much in the aspect of being a good film. But I was fascinated by the subject, and I was always into kind of cryptozoology and Bigfoot, as well as loved horror movies, obviously. And so years later, fast forward, I'm writing for the magazine Rue Morgue, and I was looking for subjects to cover that were kind of a horror movie slash cryptozoology angle. And I was saying, man, I always really wondered what was true and about the whole Legend of Boggy Creek and how the movie was made, why they made it. And so I just started looking into the history of that, the sightings of the creature, how the movie played into all that, and just the effects of the monster on the little town in Arkansas. And that's what led to me writing the books.
So how much of the book was, or I guess I should say, how much of the movie is based on what you found in the book and vice versa?
Well, surprisingly, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, almost that was made up. You know, somebody saw Bigfoot in Arkansas, and then they made this movie. But I researched every scene in the movie and traced it back to the real report. And what I found is almost like 90% of that was based on real reports that people had given about sighting this creature down there. And so, you know, in the scope of my book, I explored all those sightings and tried to interview the witnesses, or if they had passed on, then their families, and find all the other things that weren't in that movie. There was a lot more sightings than what was in the movie, so I tried to just provide a historical and journalistic approach to the whole legend, and you know, what could this be? Is it a real creature, you know?
And without spoiling the book or anything, what were some of the surprising things that you found while doing your research?
Well, I ran across one really cool thing where they had found this huge skeleton. It was missing the skull, but this was found several miles south of this town in Arkansas. And I was able to see this skeleton that this gentleman had in an undisclosed location up there. And, I mean, it was the hands down, the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And... being able to see things like this up close and, you know, personal as I investigated this case are really cool. And that skeleton was just crazy. I won't tell you what that ended up being or how that related, but a lot of theories that was one of these creatures that had fallen dead and they found it.
You know, because that's always, that seems to be one of the big things is that, you know, with the Bigfoots and the Yetis, they find tons of footprints, they find tons of hair, they never find a skeleton, they never find a body or anything like that. You know, some hunters in Georgia found something a couple of years ago and it turned out to be a costume. So, you know, it kind of hurts the credence of people who go out and look for these things and find all this stuff. So, you know, it's fascinating that you actually found what could be construed as a possible skeleton, you know, because nobody really knows what happens with these things.
Yeah, that was one of those cases where you actually had some bones to evaluate, and let me tell you, that carcass is creepy as hell looking, and, you know, you just don't often have something like that, even if it turns out to be, you know, not what you are hoping it is, just having something like that to evaluate or seeing that's associated with a case just makes it all that much more intriguing.
So does the monster exist? You can tap once for yes or tap twice for no if you don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Oh, no. Well, you know, what I do in the book is I just try to lay it all out there as best I can and let people decide. But at the end of the day, after interviewing so many people on this and just being involved in the whole Bigfoot research thing, people, and especially in this case, they saw something. I mean, they definitely did. I can't say what it is, and I have no way to prove it. But I can tell you that they're not making this up, and, you know, there's there's no way for people to hoax all these sightings, and they definitely saw something very strange and affected these people in a lot of ways, you know.
So is this your first book? And if so, or if not, what else have you done? Or what are you working on currently?
Right, yeah, that is my first book. So I kind of always had it in my mind. I wanted to write a book, and that was the perfect subject. Like I said, I write for the magazine, so I got that ongoing. And I've started work on another book, which I won't say what the subject is, but a very similar case where a lot of sightings have happened in a particular area associated with a small town. Another really fascinating story, so I've been excited to investigate that. And I've just started the writing process.
How has the book been received by people, not just in that area, but is it, if it's national distribution, how's it been received? People been saying, oh, my God, I knew this was true, or I knew this was false, or I loved it, and on all that. What have you heard from people who've read it?
Great reviews. I mean, every review on Amazon is 5 stars. I've never had a bad review, and they're over the top. It's been the fastest-selling book in Anomalous Books history, and Anomalous Books is well known for books on the unexplained. They've been around for over a decade. UFO books, cryptozoology, aliens, that sort of thing. So it's been the fastest selling book in the history of their publishing.
Oh, congratulations. Taking a little bit different direction, I used to be with the band Ghoul Town, which was a just kick-ass little band in its day. Is the band on hiatus, or is there any kind of recordings or any DVDs or any kind of releases anytime in the future? It's been a number of years since we've heard anything.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of had to take a back seat while I was doing the writing stuff, but we still do shows several times a year. We just kind of, instead of just doing the mass touring, we've just kind of done select shows.
Tired of sleeping on the floor at friends and fans' house with all the cats and crap like that, right?
Yeah,
I know that story.
You know what I'm saying. You've seen one, you've seen them all. And I'm allergic to cats, so, you know, that doesn't help when you're crashing people's houses. But we still do shows, and we've put out a recent album, which is a collection of old songs, which is the rare and unreleased. You know, we had a lot of stuff that was on soundtracks and compilations and things like that. So, you know, in the meantime, I've done what I can to kind of keep the fans happy. And people always email and ask, hey, where can I get this old song? And so we put that all together in an album called The Unforgotten, which is a digital-only album, but you can find that information on our website and how to buy that. You know, I love to, at the horror conventions, you know, it's a great place to tie in our band because we have the spooky element, you know, the dark western. And so along with the book, you know, I'm here and I have the Ghoul Town stuff, and people come up and get autographs for the CD. So it's cool, and so it keeps it going, even though we're not just fully barnstorming active at this point, you know.
Well, at some point, hopefully, you'll get back on and play something in my neck of the woods, because I saw you years ago in Charlotte, and I thought it was an A+. So, for people interested in the book, people interested in the new Ghoul Town Unforgotten type thing, any information on Rue Morgue, how can they get a hold of you? Email, Facebook, websites, all the plugs that you deserve to give.
The easiest thing is to go to my website, Lyle Blackburn, L-Y-L-E, Blackburn.com. And that has links to everything associated with me, to ghoultown.com, and links to my book, where you can buy it, and Facebook, Twitter, or the whole thing.
I've just look for Lyle Blackburn, is what you're saying.
Just Google me, Lyle Blackburn.
Is there a Kindle or a Nook or a digital version of the book?
Yeah, there is. All those. E-book, you know, Kindle and Nook. So it's widely available.
Very, very nice. Well, Lyle Blackburn, again, a pleasure to speak to you, and a big fan of Ghoul Town. I will certainly have to look into the book here, and Rue Morgue, a fine magazine that has been for many years. Keep up with your column on that again. And again, thank you for taking the time to speak to the Big Scary Show here at Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. My name is Drew Badger, and I am out.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or,
If you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
The Coffin Caddies. Zombies ate my neighbors. On the Big Scary Show.
Mortals, and anything else listening, welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. First of all, the Big Scary Show would like to offer their condolences to the family and friends of Charles Terry of HauntersDigest.com and HauntApps.com, as he lost his father due to kidney disease on December 3rd. Charles has been on our show, and we've been on his, so we offer a moment of silence in honor of his father. We have some news on Moxley Manor's Night Scare Before Christmas. Moxley Manor, located between Dallas and Fort Worth at 510 Harwood Road in Bedford, Texas, announces that they will be open select weekends for their third annual Night Scare Before Christmas. The holiday season takes on a much more sinister twist, as a Night Scare Before Christmas will have all the screams that were heard through October. Only now it's the elves that have taken over Moxley Manor in their Christmas-themed haunted house. For tickets, times, dates, and more, visit www.moxleymanor.com. We have some news on a job opportunity with Shattered FX from their Facebook page. We are looking to expand our team and add another artist. This position is full-time, paid hourly, with plenty of perks. You must have a strong understanding of form and anatomy, as well as experience in color theory. Degrees and certificates are a plus. Your job will entail sculpting, painting, and general shop help. Please submit your resume and artist portfolio to Jared, that is J-E-R-R-E-D, at shatteredfx.com. That's shattered, the letters fx.com. Requirements are, you must live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, or the surrounding areas. They're located on the outskirts of the city. You must work in, or they only work in-house and do not commission outside artists. You must be willing to work full-time and bring forth exceptional dedication. You must have a reliable means of transportation to and from the shop, and you must display strong creative problem-solving skills. Interviews are being set up now, so get your portfolio and resume into jared@shatteredfx.com as soon as possible. We have some news from the Niles Screen Park in Niles, Michigan. Is anyone up for a little head start into the 2013 by taking a chance at another free ticket contest? This one is easy and probably more meaningful if you're selected. As many of you know, the Niles Haunted Screen Park has been hard at work since our conclusion in October. In fact, we've already begun construction for one of our interior haunted houses. For this contest, we would like to include our fans in our creative selection process by selecting a name for this new attraction. The theme is New Orleans, and we're asking our fans to come up with a catchy but short name for this attraction. If we choose one of the names submitted, the winner will receive two Frightful Nightful combo passes to the 2013 Niles Haunted House Screen Park. If you wish to participate, please submit your creative name for this themed attraction via Facebook. The winner will be contacted directly. The deadline is Friday, December 21st at 5 p.m. More details are on their Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Niles Screen Park. As an aside, the Midwest Haunters Convention pre-show bus tour will be visiting Niles Screen Park in June 2013, so get your tickets to that. We have news from the Scary Acres Haunted Attraction in Omaha, Nebraska. It's Christmas, Scary Acres style. Scary Acres, the ultimate haunted attraction, presents their twisted spin on Christmas. The Nightmares Before Christmas event will include indoor and outdoor attractions, bonfires, hot cocoa, funnel cakes, food, and more. Enjoy the Christmas lights and decor throughout the park and inside the attractions. You can even get your picture taken with Scary Acres' very own Twisted Santa. For more information, times, and dates, visit scaryacres.com. A bit of news from Fright Manor in Indianapolis, from their Facebook page. Quote, okay, as you know, we're opening Fright Manor and Christmas with the Zombies on Friday and Saturday, December 21st and 22nd, from 7:30 to 10. The leader of each group will be given a shotgun to make your way through the biggest zombie hunt yet. Happy hunting! Fright Manor is located at 2909 South Meridian Street in Indianapolis, Indiana. For more information, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/Fright Manor. And finally, a bit of zombie news courtesy of the Huffington Post. It's not just President Obama's re-election that's led to a spike in gun sales. The living dead are also providing a reason to stock up on firearms and ammo. MyNorthwest.com reports that according to FBI data, background checks for guns rose 20% on Black Friday from the same day last year. According to KIRO, one gun rights advocate says part of the reason for the increase is zombies. Quote, a lot of people appear to be really enthralled by this, unquote, Dave Workman said. I've seen lines of zombie targets. I know one or two ammunition companies have introduced boxes and lines of cartridges they call zombie cartridges, shotgun shells, and rifle shells. The zombie-themed merchandise has ushered in a new generation of gun shooters, according to Workman. Of course, the popularity of TV's Walking Dead heralds the coming of a zombie apocalypse for which we must prepare. Those sentiments were echoed earlier this year by Texas gun purveyor Chris Parsons in an interview with ABC News. He said products like Zombie Max Ammunition, whose slogan is, Just in Case, made by Hornaday Manufacturing, fly off the shelves. "We can't keep it in stock," Parsons says. "It comes in a cool, colorful box with a zombie on it. Clearly, zombies are hot with gun fans. But what about other weapons? Could they too become the beneficiaries of a zombie bump?" Absolutely, according to the Detroit Free Press's Eric Milliken. Quote, "Zombies are also sure to increase sales of machetes, nunchucks, and prosthetic chainsaw hands," he writes. For more information, visit the Huffington Post website. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
It's that time of year, haunters, to spread a little bit of Horror Day cheer. Call the Big Scary Show shout-out line at 641-715-3900, extension 359-535, and leave us a haunted holiday greeting. The best and most original Horror Day greetings will air on the December 21st episode of The Big Scary Show, so you just may hear yourself on our next show. So get creative and give us a call, haunters. Again, that number is 641-715-3900, extension 359-535. Happy Horror Days.
Cats with Photoshop faces? Highlands of Scotland? Goats and trees? Why doesn't anybody have a calendar which speaks to my passion? Wait a minute, what's this? HectorTurner.com? The 2013 Haunted Halloween Calendar? Oh, this is perfect! Oh, this would look great in a workshop. Better yet, at the office.
Reserve your copy of the calendar now at HectorTurner.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, winter is right around the corner. We've wrapped up the haunt for the year. You know, Christmas time is upon us and New Year's, and it's time to start thinking for what we're going to do next season and starting anew and just getting things to work out and making those changes for the better. And, you know, that reminds me of what's going on down in New Orleans with the Hornets who've moved down there. They're changing their mascots and appearance to the New Orleans Pelicans. Yes, that's right. The concept is, hey, if we take a product that's been really bad and change over the mascot and the logo and everything, it's got to be better, right? Wrong, because those nasty, fearsome Pelicans are going to just, you know, instill fear in the hearts of other basketball teams. But you gotta also take this to heart with your own haunt. If things haven't worked this year, or if you're seeing a good turn, them zombies and them Walking Dead's good, let's just all do zombies next year. You know, changes are always good. New mascot, new theming up your haunt is always a good idea. But remember what the basics are. Remember that you're out there to scare people. Keep that in mind. Work with your actors and think of those things now. You know, a new coat of paint and changing up the look of things isn't always going to make the difference. Just ask the Pelicans. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
again, folks. We have reached the part of the Big Scary Show that everybody can't wait till it happens. But here it is, the Round Table of Terror. And you know, a lot of really good horror shows and a lot of good documentaries and all sorts of really cool TV shows come up during the Halloween season. And one that got a fair amount of play was a documentary called American Scream. It came on the Chiller Network, and it basically followed a few people who were, shall we say, Halloween obsessive. Got great reviews. A lot of people have talked about it. Don't know if it'll come back for a season two with more people, but we'll just have to wait and see. But we do have one of the folks on the line who was the subject of American Scream. We have all the way up in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, Mr. Victor Barreto. Victor, you there?
I am. How's it going?
And in the interest of fairness, we do want to say, Victor, you are a friend of the show. Most of the hosts have known you for several years. And, of course, when we heard the news that you were going to be the subject of a documentary, we were like, oh, cool, we've got to get him on the show. So
yay,
here you are, and welcome to the Big Scary Show.
Thank you.
With our hosts, the Unknown Scare Actor.
Greetings.
The Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane.
Howdy ho.
Storm is MIA. Actually, he's on vacation, so unfortunately he's unavailable tonight. My name is Drew Badger. This is the Roundtable of Terror talking American Scream with Victor Barreto. And I guess the first question is, Victor, how the heck did you get hooked up with the producers? Is it Michael Stevenson or whoever? To do this show?
It was stupid luck, actually. My friend Carol, who was also a hunter, kind of bugged me to apply for this thing. They put out a call for home hunters. Magic Stone Productions said they were doing this documentary on home hunters. And I half-heartedly applied, and it turns out they ended up picking their top 12 people, and I was not among them. And then I guess they were getting ready to, do interviews. They were going to fly to the East Coast. They said they wanted the East Coast because of our traditions here. So they flew to the East Coast, and just before they left, they saw a picture of my daughter with my giant spider prop. And Mike found out who it was and put me on the docket since I was not too far from some other home hunters that they were coming down to see. And then, they swung by. I was number 13. I was lucky number 13.
Nice.
They swung by. They fell in love with Fairhaven. I told them my story, and then I walked them down to Manny's house, 2.5 blocks down the street.
That would be Manny Sousa, another subject.
Manny Sousa, yeah. And then the Broders are maybe half a mile up the street in the opposite direction. Between the town and my daughter dumping bloody Barbies all over the driveway when they showed up. And
that was awesome.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard on that.
Yeah, they picked us. And it was a pretty hard sell considering they came, I think it was very late August or early September. Of course, nothing's done, nothing's set up. You just got a garage full of props, a basement full of props, and you're trying to explain everything. But we got lucky. They selected us.
And how many people, production crew, production team, and how many people basically did they camp out at your house? And if how was that?
They started the last week of September. They rented a house one town over for the whole crew. There must have been about 10 of them here all together. They left the first week of November. So they were here for close to 6 weeks, and they were here all the time.
Couldn't blow your nose without getting it caught on film.
No, that was caught on film. They filmed me brushing my teeth, getting ready for work. I mean, it was pretty nerve-wracking at times.
How did the wife feel about all this, and the kids?
They were okay with it. My kids were excited. And then, after a few days of the film crew being here, they fell in love with the film crew. So it was a pretty easy adjustment. The first few days were kind of odd, but after a few days of them being here, my wife is feeding them. She's making supper for the whole crew. So it worked out.
I have to keep remembering that you guys call it supper, we call it dinner out here. I'm like, what the heck's supper?
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Must be an East Coast thing.
It is. Just
laid-back West Coasters.
Just like going to the Packy.
The what?
The Packy. The liquor store.
Oh, so, yeah.
I call it the Hooch House, but...
Is that what you call it?
But that also could be confused with a brothel, but we won't go there. now, my question is, when this whole thing started, how far along were you in with the with setting up your haunt at the time that the crew started up filming with you?
I was still building props, so none of the walls were up. You know, the props were all put away, except for the few that I was working on. So this was a total sell job. It wasn't something I could just say, hey, look what I did. It just wasn't there. But you know what? Neither was anybody else's. It was too early.
Okay.
So they had to use their imagination quite a bit.
And wing it how they were going to film it.
Exactly, exactly. They were looking... They weren't looking for the best home hunter, certainly. They were looking for the best story. So although they probably, you know, hit quite a few home haunters that were better than me or Manny or the Broders, you know, they were looking for a story. When they interviewed, everybody had the same story. When I was a kid, you know, I loved Halloween so much that, you know, I can't help but do it now. With me, it was a little different. My family was religious. I didn't get to celebrate Halloween. So I go overboard now, and that was an interesting twist. And they were looking for that sort of thing. The biggest thing about this is it's not a walkthrough of our haunts. It's not how to, you know, it's a story about families and the stress and the passion and everything that they go through to get to that end result.
So what was the entire story behind it? I mean, did they come up with the desired effect? I mean, is what they were looking for what they got, or was it something completely unexpected?
A little of both, I guess. Manny has, you know, the everyman home hunter story, I think. You know, his whole family is involved, but he does it for the fun of it, for the pure enjoyment. The Broders do it for a charity. And I am absolutely obsessed, and so they've got three different stories going at the same time. And then, as luck had it, I decided to go pro this year. So I didn't officially make the announcement until after Halloween. So they ended up coming back for 3 weeks to film. And Badger, I think you were at the HauntCon. When the film
in Pittsburgh,
there.
Yes.
They ended up following me down there.
And I remember talking to you, and I remember seeing you walking around with camera crews, thinking, oh my God, we got a movie star in our TV star in our midst.
Brad Pitt ain't got... Brad
and then
Pitt
I realized it was just R.J. Hattie from Face Off, and then that, and I was like, oh, no, it's not R.J., it's you, ha-ha.
It's great, though, when you get a film crew with you, you have the vendor's undivided attention. It's awesome.
Brad Pitt ain't got nothing on you.
Yeah,
you
he
have
does.
To with a posse walking around with you and everything and hanging out. You know.
This is how Victor rolls.
There you go.
It was once in a lifetime. When I went to MHC, just everybody was just giving me crap about it. Where's your film crew? Where's your film crew?
Yeah, and the funny thing is I heard all that, and I'm like, I must be the one person that is just the most clueless person in the world, because I had no idea what the hell anybody was talking about.
Because I'm just, you know, I go to MHC, I think this was my 8th year or something.
You're just Victor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, it's just Victor, exactly.
I mean, I remember you and I were talking about it briefly on the bus. And that's when I finally heard about it. I'm like, oh, you're part of a documentary? Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, that's where the film crew really needed to be, was bus number two.
No, that's not well, something I want my wife and children seeing, no.
Signed, don't put this on air.
I'm trying to get my wife to go to MEC with me, and she will not because she's seen the pictures and she's heard the stories, and she will not go.
She's a wise woman and wants to stay married.
Very smart.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find creepy collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
Oh, that's funny.
So about the three groups of people that were the subject of the American Scream, were you guys friends beforehand? Did you guys ever share props or anything?
Absolutely.
Did you recommend each other to this thing, or how did that go about?
Manny and I were friends long before the documentary, and I knew the Broders for, I'd say, 3 or 4 years now, I guess. But Manny started haunting because I was haunting. He would come by my house and he would look at my stuff and go, I could do that. And that's how he started getting into it. So he's got a few of my props over at his house. He's got the advantage of having a pretty huge yard. And I don't. I have a very tiny yard, and I've got my garage set up into 4 rooms. So if I create new things, the old things have to go. And he's got plenty of room, so some of them end up over there. And that was, I got to say, more than half a dozen years ago that he started. So we've been friends for a while.
Never competition or anything? Or was
no,
it all
no,
like,
not
you know,
really.
Come to my house and then go see Manny's house, and then go the other way and see their house?
No. I mean, the thing is, if both of our haunts are great, then we'll draw more people to the neighborhood, and that's the goal, you know, make both haunts as good as possible and get the crowds in here. And I just wish I could carry that over to the pro hunting, you know, try to get some of these pro haunts to step up their game and work together to make it a tradition and bring people in instead of competing. We never had that with home hunting, and even I've got a new neighbor who's starting, and she decked out her yard. She had cemetery columns. She's right around the corner. I'm like, I had to give her something. I grabbed some foam gargoyles and I brought them over there. And there's no competition when it comes to that. We want our home haunts to be the best.
So, what were some of the really cool stories that you can tell? Anything? Did you freak out any of the camera crew with props, or terrify somebody who was on the team checking you guys out and writing or anything?
No. I mean, they were here for the whole setup, so surprising them, it really didn't happen. I can tell you, we made some of them laugh so much that the camera shook quite a bit. I don't think we'll see any of that on the extras on the DVD or anything, but we all get along very, very well. The crew split into, you know, 3 different groups for the 3 different haunters. So we had my daughter actually gave them all nicknames, like Michael Stevenson, the director, he became the guy. Zach, the producer, he became the man, and there was, you know, Cowboy and Fluffy, and she gave them all nicknames to the point where we started calling them by their nicknames, and I started to forget some of their actual names.
Did any of them think of you and your kids and everything just like, oh, these are some sick people?
No, they didn't. They didn't. And that's the thing. They could have, you know, Michael could have easily made us look like obsessive nuts, because we are. I'm not going to deny that.
Oh, yeah.
But he could have made us look like total dills, and he didn't. He made us look like, you know, local heroes. It's all in how you edit it, I guess. But I really trusted him. After getting to know him for just a few days, you know, I told him things I probably shouldn't have told him, and then afterwards I said, please don't put that in there. I don't want my kids to know that. And he said, don't worry, we'll cut it. So I could totally trust him with everything.
There's got to be some kind of cool story that came out of it, though.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I mean,
well, the one thing that got cut that you wish had made it to the screen?
Well, I can tell you what Manny thinks as far as that. They didn't do an actual walkthrough of our haunt. So, you know, when they're showing us setting it up in the daytime, it doesn't always look great. At night, when the music's going and the light, you know, it is on it, the haunts look much, much better. And there were certainly parts of my haunt that didn't make it, the spider room, the gypsy tent, and the toxic room, and et cetera, et cetera. And Manny was really upset about that, because you get this great, great pirate display that's phenomenal, and he's got some other really good displays. He never made it in to the documentary. It was about the families. It wasn't about the haunt. So, you know, that's something they could have shown. Certainly, we did a make and take at my shop with a bunch of local haunters here, and that got cut. And, you know, there was a lot more to HauntCon that got cut. But with what they had and what they put in, they did the best job that they possibly could have done. They couldn't have done it better. It's the movie had to appeal to people other than just haunters.
And how did that affect your haunt this year?
The pro haunt, it didn't. Unfortunately, Chiller aired the documentary on Sunday, October 28th, which was our last night open.
Oh.
So it didn't. It didn't affect us this year. But next year, I think it will. You know, at Ghoulie Manor, the pro haunt on Facebook had 800 likes, I think, and a week later, after the show aired, we had 1,200 likes. So there's definitely an impact, but we haven't felt it yet. We won't feel it until this fall. Hopefully, we can carry that momentum over a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. I was wondering if the documentary had an effect on taking that step, but after watching it, I realized it was just the next logical thing for you to do.
You know, it did in a way. It actually pushed me. I was thinking, you know, this thing's coming out next year. It's now or never. You know, I could use the attention from this film to get the pro haunt off of the ground. So it did absolutely have a bearing. At the end of Halloween last year, I still hadn't made up my mind. I also knew I was being laid off from my job. So, you know, I knew I was going to have some time on my hands to actually work on this haunt. You know, and my family, my wife supports it. So, you know, it was kind of a push. It was one of those things, now or never, I'm doing it.
So overall, this was really a positive experience, you would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You hear horror stories about people who are on quote-unquote reality shows, and, you know, some of them turn out okay, and some of them just, you know, say their lives were ruined or horrible.
No,
things
absolutely. This was absolutely a positive experience. Okay. It couldn't have been better.
People recognize on the street and everything, hey, it's you, you're that guy.
Believe it or not, yeah, it happens. We went to a diner the other day, and guy had to be 60 years old, and he's like, you're Victor Barreto, aren't you, from that documentary? I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, but it happens. It happens around the neighborhood. I actually didn't have the home haunt this year. I took my kids trick-or-treating for the first time in Lord knows how long, since they were probably too young to walk. And I had people around the neighborhood, you know, telling me, hey, I saw the documentary. So it's brought a little bit of local fame and a little bit of attention from fellow haunters, certainly.
That's cool. Yeah, that's the one thing I liked about the documentary, and you know, everybody you know says it brought the human element out. But the truth of the matter is it did.
It did.
I mean, some haunts and some of these guys tend to be a little too belligerent, a little too over the top, because there's a camera on me.
Yeah.
So I gotta pump it up, and the fact that you and Manny and the Broders, thank you.
Yeah.
You guys brought this is us, this is what we do, this is our passion. You know, we're not the freaks that live on the corner with the dark house. Okay, well, maybe you are. but, you know, my wife watched it, and I found her, you know, I'm sitting there watching it, and my wife is not into Halloween at all. But I noticed, as I'm watching it, I kept noticing her keep looking up from her iPad and looking at the TV. And then by the first half hour, she was actually, the iPad's put down, she just sat there watching it.
Well, that's good.
And I'm like, I'm looking at her going, who are you?
Because it wasn't about the haunts. It was about the families. And
the people's people behind it.
Yeah, you could take that same format and apply it to other things other than haunts. You could apply it to music or sports or whatever you're into. It was about the passion and the families and how they all came together, and it's a community thing. If it was just about the haunts, it wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't have been nearly as popular. It would have been great, you know, for guys like us, because we're all into it, but it certainly wouldn't have held the attention of a network audience.
Well, you hadn't thought about it before.
No, actually, I hadn't.
You know, when you're into a big haunter, you basically, or a big haunting type person, you basically watch all these things from a haunter's point of view. You don't watch it from John Q. Public's point of view.
Exactly.
And I you can take so much out of it if you look at it from that perspective.
Exactly. It's a television documentary. It's not just a haunter DVD. There's a lot of like the Davises. They put out a DVD of a bunch of different haunters, and I get it, and I watch it, and I enjoy it. But John Q. Public isn't going to pop that in and go, "Hey, that's great."
Exactly. Now, when the documentary was all wrapped up and everything, I saw on your Facebook page that it was being shown in theaters. Where was it being shown at?
It actually premiered at a theater at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas. And they actually flew us down there so we could be at the premiere. And then it aired at several independent theaters across the country, Chicago, L.A., New York, Winchester, Virginia, and a bunch more. Short runs. It's just an independent film. It's a documentary, but and although they were hired by Chiller to film this, they tackled it like it was an independent film instead of a film for a network. So, Michael Stevenson did Best Worst Movie. And he was actually in Trolls 2 when he was a child, and he did a documentary about that. And it was the same type of thing. It's a heartwarming story, and that's what they were looking for. I guess when Chiller went to them, they went to them for that reason.
Do you have any plans to do anything else with anybody? I mean, you know, if you see an ad for, you know, somebody else wants to come out and film a haunted house or anything, or are you pretty much done with the TV and the documentary business?
I saw you
listed on the IMDb, so, you know, you did it.
I know, that's freaky. They actually pitched to Chiller for a short series to see how my pro hunt was going, and Chiller didn't buy it. Chiller did send a film crew out to do like a follow-up. So if you go on Chiller TV and look up The American Scream, you see there's a Ghoulie Manor follow-up, because the documentary kind of leaves you at a cliffhanger. You know, I'm going into this business, but you don't know how I do. So they did send a different film crew. Did a pretty good job. But as far as, you know, films, I've been asked, Michael Stevenson and Magic Stone Productions, they're doing a film called Destroy, and it's about a vampire slayer. And I guess it turns out that the vampires that this guy's been slaying are not vampires at all. So it's, from my understanding, it's a black comedy, and I've been asked in April, and nothing's set in stone yet, if I might be interested in going down and building the sets for the movie. Yeah, so if that turns out, I'm hoping it may not happen. If it does, I'm going to be a happy camper.
That'd be sweet.
That would be sweet. You know, something I'd be able to tell my children. I went to L.A. and built a movie set. That would be awesome.
What's that show that comes on after Face Off? Hot Set. Maybe you'd be a contender for that.
Yeah, I've been watching that. When that comes on, I'm glued to the TV set.
I can see in a couple of years hitting the entire reality series circuit. You know, Survivor and Amazing Race, and whatever.
So. I mean, what's funny is the contracts that they had me sign, they were reality show contracts. I was kind of horrified. And, I can't tell you how many of these things I had to sign. That had me a little worried, to be honest with you. But it turned out okay.
Anything really, really just completely unusual that you were like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have to sign this? Because, the vast majority of us are never going to be on a reality show. So we don't have an idea of what some of these things that people have to go through.
There were some things. I had a lawyer call me and tell me I had to clear some of the stuff off some of the controversial stuff off Facebook. And I didn't think it was all that bad. And I did it too. So it was different. It was strange.
So overall, would you change anything that you did?
No, not at all. Everything that happened was a blessing. It was fantastic. The movie was phenomenal. I mean, what they did with a subject that easily could have failed, in my opinion. They made a great, great film. As a matter of fact, it won Best Documentary at Fantastic Fest, which is a horror festival, film festival. So they did very well. There's nothing I would change, and if I had to go back and do it all again, I absolutely would.
How have other haunters responded to it?
Very positive. I've only heard maybe one or two haunters who didn't care for it, and even the reviews from non-haunters. Fangoria magazine gave it like 4 out of 4 skulls, and I was in Entertainment Weekly and USA Today, and the reviews are great. And my Facebook page just blew up with friend requests, and certainly not all of them home haunters, though. Probably about half. Most of them are just film fans. So, yeah, it's very surreal. I've got a guy, on the West Coast, who just sent me a movie poster for me to sign. I'm like, really? It's really
strange.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. Just strange. It's we're not people who seek this out. We're in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, in the middle of nowhere, the quietest town you could possibly find. And it was like, for a home hunter, it's like hitting megabucks. I mean, it's like hitting the lottery. I can't explain how great of an experience it was.
So what's next on the horizon for Victor Barreto, Ghoulie Manor, and all the rest of the cool stuff that you do, home haunting, crow haunting, and otherwise?
Well, Ghoulie Manor is back for next year. We managed to eke out enough money at least to stay open another year. So hopefully we can at least break even or be profitable next year. But
you know, it takes about 3 years for you to really break even in this business.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
And it was kind of a down year for a lot of haunts around the country.
It was, especially around here. I'm hearing the same thing. But you know,
do you have all the weather issues?
Yeah, weather, especially our last weekend. Yeah, absolutely, weather was an issue. But from what the other pro hunters are telling me, we did very well for our first year. So if we can carry this through until the hunt is profitable. As a matter of fact, I don't care if I do care if I make a profit, but if I don't make a profit, at least if I break even, I'm going to continue to do it because that's what I love. And,
so when is the DVD and Blu-rays of American Scream coming out, or are they available now?
They're not available yet, but you can get the American Scream from YouTube or Netflix, if you have Netflix. As a matter of fact, on Netflix, it was the number one streaming movie for quite a while. So if you get Netflix, you can get it. The DVD, I'm not sure when that's coming out. I just know they're putting together a whole bunch of extras for the DVD.
All this behind-the-scenes stuff that you can't talk about or won't talk
about? Yeah, no. Okay, I can talk about anything. They had 400 hours of footage that they had to whittle down into 90 minutes. So they've got more extras than they can possibly fit on one DVD.
Man, yeah, the one disc set will be 10 discs. Here's all the stuff you didn't see.
I don't think there's that much footage that's interesting to people.
Here's Victor blowing his nose. Here's Victor wiping his nose. Here's
exactly.
Victor scratching
driving
his head.
They could string a whole bunch of extras of me just swearing for, you know, breaking props and
that's the director's
things going wrong.
The Victor swear reel.
Exactly.
It's well, not there's no outtakes and bloopers. It's just constant swearing.
Well, I'm glad to know that it is on Netflix because I actually don't have cable. I abandoned cable earlier this year, and I just tagged it on Netflix, so I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Well, I don't have Chiller. I haven't seen it on TV yet. Comcast actually doesn't carry Chiller, even though they own the channel. So I'm a little puzzled by that. But, yeah, the only reason I've seen it is because I saw it in Austin, Texas, and they did a film premiere here for the locals in Fairhaven. And I saw it there with a bunch of friends and family, and that was really emotional. You know, in Austin, I was very happy to see it. I was very proud. And then here in Fairhaven, I blubbered like an idiot, you know. But
that I'd like to see on Blu-ray.
Well, it was with a bunch of family, bunch of friends, and then, a good amount of people who have helped out with the pro haunt, the actors and the builders and everything. And it was just one little part at the end where not to give anything away, but, they show the mailbox at the shop, and it says Ghoulie Manor on it, and just the place exploded. They were cheering, and I lost it.
We'll have to have a screening at Midwest this year because I know you'll be attending that. Any of the other conventions you plan on attending as a haunter or as just a fan?
I always go to Midwest. Every year I go to Midwest. I do not miss it. But I try to make at least one other every year, and I haven't been to Transworld since it was in Chicago. So I'm going to try to make Transworld this year. Last year I did HauntCon. The year before that was Nationals. So I try to get around a bit. And I always make the East Coast Haunters Gathering up in New Hampshire or in Salem when they have it there. But probably Midwest and Transworld this year.
Excellent. Big Scary Show is planning on having a presence at both, so hopefully we'll definitely get together, go hang out in the bar for a few, shall we say, beverages. nice conversation and definitely chat a little bit more about this stuff.
You already know Victor's hanging out with the homeboys on bus too.
Oh yes, yeah. That's a
come
given.
On.
Can't miss that.
Come on. it will be Victor Barreto, Ghoulie Manor, IMDb legend.
Stop.
We're gonna private screening somewhere. We'll find a room and just have that.
Forget
shown.
Granny.
We you guys are just going to razz me about this the whole time in there, aren't you?
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not on it.
I want your autograph.
Just keep your shirt on, Drew, please.
I didn't say where I would ask for the autograph, so.
I'm more worried about you since you became buff. You're going to be running around with no shirt on. I don't want to see
that.
Oh,
yeah. Hell no. You know what? I may live in Las Vegas, but I'm still one of the whitest people you've ever met.
And on that note, clock on the wall unfortunately never stops. So, unknown scare actor or haunt rocker, if you have any final questions.
Well, I would if I'd seen the movie yet, but I'm going to watch it tomorrow, so I'll have to save my questions.
let me know what you think.
I will.
Now, Victor, are they going to put it out on, like, iTunes and all that for purchase as well?
I don't know if it's on iTunes or not. I'm not sure. I don't know what the plans are there either. I know before they put it up on Netflix, they had to have it dubbed in, I don't know how many, like 8 different languages or something.
Oh, Victor's in Indonesia. Yes.
Well, that would be fun.
iTunes, I'm not sure about, though.
Well, we'll just have to check iTunes from time to time and find out. And, of course, if you find out, please let us know so we can get that news out to everybody. This is the part where we...
I'm going to answer that question right now as we're talking. It is.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
Awesome.
It is. For buy-in rental.
Can't go wrong with that. So this is what we normally call the plugs. So, Victor, if you wish to plug websites or where people may be able to get copies of this when it's available or anything else you wish to plug, please feel free.
Okay, the movie itself, like I said, is on Netflix. Magic Stone Productions is the team that put that together, so you can check them out online. As far as the pro haunt, ghouliemanor.com is our site, and I hope if you're on the East Coast or close by to Massachusetts, you come by next year and check it out.
How far are you from, say, Boston or any of the other places that, you know, tourists might be passing through?
Boston, maybe 45 minutes, maybe a little less than that, and about half an hour from Providence.
Okay. It's not too bad.
Yeah, we're in a good location.
Very, very nice. Well, Victor, again, great talking to you again, my friend. You know, we've known each other for many years, and so has, you know, Jerry and Storm, who's not here, and Unknown Scare Actor. It's a pleasure to have Mr. Victor Barreto all the way up from Fairhaven, Massachusetts, somehow surviving Sandy and the blizzard of '12, to come and talk with us about American Scream. Victor, I hope you get to the point where you never have to buy a dinner again.
Thank you so much.
And once again, folks, American Scream was on the Chiller Network. Look for it on iTunes, Netflix, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray at some point in the hopefully very near future. And, of course, we may see you in St. Louis next spring, and if not, then definitely at Midwest. Once again, Victor, thank you very much for taking the time. Just stick around for just a moment as we bid thee farewell to the Unknown Scare Actor.
Always a pleasure.
And the Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane.
Live from Las Vegas.
And somewhere out in the wilds of New Hampshire, Storm is lurking about, hopefully not snowed in or eaten by bears or anything. My name is Drew Badger. Go ahead.
That would be his next Haunt Minute.
That would be an excellent Haunt Minute. What it means to be eaten by a bear. I would definitely listen to his entire Haunt Minute at that point. But once again, my name is Drew Badger. This is the Roundtable of Terror, only on the Big Scary Show.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here once again for the Big Scary Show. We certainly hope you're enjoying the show. Lots of great information, news, interviews, and all sorts of fun stuff that is the Big Scary Show. But as I've mentioned in the past, this is one of my favorite parts of the show, and it's not the roundtable. This is the part where we get to give away lots of cool stuff. As you know, Screamline Studios has been a wonderful sponsor of the show, and they have given us a whole boatload of really cool meat mangler props, and we've been giving them away. We took the month off of October because, well, let's face it, we're all busy in October. But we opened up the contest back in November. We put out a trivia question related to a show, and we only take the first 250 people. Remember that, folks, so get those answers in early next time we hold one of these. But we go to mathgoody.com, queue up a random number generator, pick a random person from all the entries, and we have a random caller on the phone right now. Random caller, what is your name? Where are you from?
This is Chris Simmons. I am in Lake Wylie, South Carolina.
Lake Wylie, beautiful country down there. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
We are doing excellent, except I'm still got my post-Halloween cold. But anyway, you know how this works. You answered, hopefully, the correct answer that we had on our trivia question. And I believe the question was related to Doug Bradley, the actor who plays Pinhead in the Hellraiser series. He said, if I remember correctly, what is the greatest enemy in show business? And what would that answer be? Wait, before you answer that, I do have a couple of quick questions. One, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form prior to this other than to tell you when to call in?
No.
Okay, and two, have you influenced us in any way, shape, or form? Sent us money, pictures of dancing girls, anything like that?
No.
I got some pictures of dancing girls.
Really? Send them to me. Make sure you win.
Send them to me, too. I don't remember that.
There you go. But anyway, Doug Bradley asked the simple question. He said, the greatest enemy in show business is blank.
Anonymity.
One more time?
It is anonymity.
If I recall, that is the correct answer. Congratulations, Chris Simmons, Lake Wylie, South Carolina. Doug Bradley says anonymity is the greatest enemy in show business. You will be receiving Unknown Scare Actor. Tell him what he's won.
I think he has won, obviously, a meat mangler prop from Screamline Studios, and the particular one we are looking at is a small one that can be used very subtly, and it's called a cobbler's hammer.
That's a beautiful little piece of work there. I'm sure you're familiar with Screamline Studios products. We recommend everybody go over to ScreamlineStudios.com, check out their wide range of everything from latex to props to masks and really, really cool stuff. Chris, I'll tell you what we're going to do, too, because you caught me in a good mood. On top of this meat mangler prop, we're also going to throw in a 2013 Haunted Actors calendar, courtesy of HectorTurner.com. Hector gave us a bunch of calendars, and you're going to be getting one of those as well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me put you on hold here. We're going to get some contact information from you, and we'll go ahead and get an address to where we can send out all those great things. Thank you once again for being a fan. We appreciate you listening. We hope you'll continue to listen. Tell your friends to listen. Like us on Facebook. Once again, Chris Simmons from Lake Wylie, South Carolina, the latest winner of the gruesome giveaway sponsored by Screamline Studios here on The Big Scary Show. And we are out.
Are you a fan of the alternative lifestyle? Do you like horror films and gaming reviews? How about Drop Dead Gorgeous Ladies? If you answered yes, then you need to check out Stiff Mag. Stiff Mag is a bi-monthly horror, alternative culture, and entertainment publication that features our horror film reviews, our tech from the crypt, and graveyard gaming features, killer reading, literary features, music reviews, columns, and of course, our beautiful graveyard girls. For subscription information, visit stiffmag.com. That's stiffmag.com.
Ragdolls, Halloween night on The Big Scary Show.
It's gonna be a bumpy ride, so hold on tight. Chop the news to set my darkest dream to life. Wake the monsters every dark of Frankenstein. Together we're a motherfucking killing machine. Turn the power on, we gonna wipe it clean. And I don't care about sympathy. I only want to end the misery. Clench my blood first with your life. It's Ghost Night out and we gonna rock it out alright. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, no living inside. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, let's give a good fright. Hey, what's on your mind? Make up with Frankenstein's bride. Insanity is born. Stuff the body with candy corn. It's my favorite holiday of the year. Streets, murder, and all my friends are here. The witch bitch still keeps working her broom. Dracula passed out in the living room. Then it just arrived for us to kill our race. Michael Myers threw up a leather face. Reagan, you and Spidey walks down the stairs. The cops budging in, but we don't care. And I don't care about sympathy. I only want death and misery. Quench my bloodthirst with your life. It's Ghost Night out and we're gonna rock it out alright. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, no living in sight. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, let's give a good fight. Are you fucking ready for the worst Halloween of your life? The clock just struck midnight. So here we go.
Pleasure to introduce to you the Big Scary Show's special correspondent. We bring you Dog Soldier.
All right, Dog Soldier here with Casper Van Dien, Starship Troopers, Sleepy Hollow. How you doing, Casper?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
All right, it sounds like you have fun over there today. A lot of chanting and rooting over in the corner.
Yeah, I had a good time. Good people, good fans.
Now, off the hand, what do most people talk to you about when they come to your table?
Starship Troopers, Tarzan, Sleepy Hollow.
Now, what was it like doing Starship Troopers with Busey and Dina Myers?
It was a blast. I had a great cast to work with, a great director, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Favorite character you played so far?
Wow, that's a... Well, you know, I guess Johnny Rico would probably be the one I'm most associated with, so he's pretty awesome. And then probably Tarzan.
Tarzan. I always liked Johnny Rico in Starship Troopers. Yeah. This is a great character for you.
Yeah, it was a blast. It's one that everybody wants quotes from, so...
Now, hardest character you played?
Hardest character I've played? It was a character in Sanctimony. It was pretty dark, so that's probably the hardest one to play.
Any new projects on the horizon?
I did a movie with Danielle Harris called Shiver coming out this year, and I have another one called Lake Effects coming out in November, and then I have a movie that I'm working on right now that was one best short at Sundance, and
really?
It's now being made into the same director, writer. Yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. That's about it.
Can't
tell you the name. That's it. it.
How about Shiver?
You have to look at it.
Nothing at all on anything.
That's it. I gave it to you. Shiver. Shiver has got Danielle in it. Ray Dong Chung. Ooh. Jared Brood.
Okay. Wow. So, sounds good.
Yeah.
So, well, Casper, thank you for taking time to talk with us today here at Monster Mania.
Thank you.
And good luck with your future projects.
Thank you. You too, man.
Hi, this is the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, and I want to talk to you about Thorn Web Designs. Jimmy Talkington at Thorn Web Designs does my music site, jerryvane.com, and is the official website designer for BigScaryShow.com. Jimmy works for Haunt and has been in this business a long time, and he knows just what to do to make your site work for you. As a client of his for 2 years, I can tell you right now, Jimmy takes pride in what he does to make sure the website is what you want, when you want, and on time. And best of all, great prices and great customer service. So if you need a custom website for your haunted attraction, metal band, or anything else, I want you to visit thornwebdesigns.com and see what Jimmy Talkington can do for you. Thorn Web Designs, the official web designer of the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, Rabid Badger Haunt Consulting, and The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at the Mad Monster Party. Well, not really. It's Sunday night. The Mad Monster Party first edition is sadly over. The guests are on their way home. The celebrities are on their flights. Hopefully, safe travels to everyone. And as you have heard me in the past on other shows, let's talk to one of the organizers to get his thoughts on this. I'm with Joe Moe, one of the organizers of the Mad Monster Party, and interestingly enough, a caretaker for the late, great Forrest J. Ackerman. Joe, your thoughts on the first annual Mad Monster Party?
Well, you know, here we are sitting in the afterglow. So you're sitting in the afterglow with Joe Moe.
Got my cigarette right here.
Excellent. Excellent. Just blow it over there so I can walk through it in atmospheric haze.
This is the tobacco state.
It was a great, it was a phenomenal convention. You know, it's always weird being on this side of it. But even though it was a big, you know, expense of energy and running around and not getting to do all the fun stuff, knowing that everybody else got to was really, really the prize. And I think we succeeded in basically creating the show that we had envisioned. You know, the Mad Monster Party is a, you know, I like to call it the brainchild of Eben Magar. I came to the show, you know, in much the same way I did to the magazine. Eben had a vision, as a lot of artists do, and, you know, people like me or other people that believe in that vision, you know, congregate around it and then try to support it, and we just became great partners. Eben and I are sort of the same kind of person, but with completely different behaviors. Eben's not giving this interview with me because Eben is the crotchety, cranky guy.
Yes, he is.
And I'm the woo-hoo, yay, I love everybody guy.
That's why we're talking to you.
But Eben feels the same way. He doesn't express it the same way. But here we are sitting here, and it's sort of like the day after Christmas. You know, all the presents have been opened, and you've broken all your toys, and there's nothing to do but pout until next year. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, I've got to ask you. You're from California, mm-hmm. the Hollywood area.
Yes.
Eben is from?
Eben's from the East Coast, but he's also a filmmaker in Hollywood, too.
So how do two people in California, Southern California, mm-hmm. look across this grand country of ours mm-hmm. and say, we're going to put a Mad Monster Party in, throws a dart at a wall, boom, Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, like most things in show business, you know, it's part vision and part luck. There's a lot of luck on our side. Eben did his due diligence when he had the vision to make the show, having had more experience than I do in putting on shows. And he knew what he had to do to fulfill, you know, the finding a spot that was appropriate. And he looked at Charlotte because there was a real eagerness, a hunger to have this kind of event in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a great accessibility from people around different parts of the country who couldn't get to other, you know, coasts to enjoy our genre. And also little details like the fact that there's, I believe, 9 colleges, you know, adjacent, and that it's pretty financially secure economically. I know Bank of America is hubbed here. And basically my contribution to all of this footwork Eben did was, we thought, we've been to so many, you've put on so many, you know, how are we going to innovate? How are we going to make this work? How is it going to be special? Well, innovation wasn't that hard because all you have to do in our business is think about what you can't stand at certain things and not do that, and then think of ways to enhance the experience that we all love. So I told Evan, I said, I've been to so many of these conventions, and whenever I hear there's a new convention and it sounds like a good one, the reaction in fandom usually is, oh, I can't wait to go to that next year. Let's see how it goes this year. And I told Evan, we can't really afford to put on the scale of show we want to put on and not and have half of our fans be absent. So I said, why don't we start from the grassroots? Why don't we try to build it in the community in Charlotte? He thought that was a great idea, so we contacted the tourism board, and a woman named Brandy put us in touch with Kevin Blanchfield, who's established here. I think he's been part of the Chamber of Commerce in the past, and he operates the Haunted Mill haunt attraction here in Halloween and, you know, seasonally. And Kevin was just a kindred spirit, and he's really what allowed us to put on this show and plan it from another state.
So he's been kind of your point man here, and then...
Absolutely.
I'm assuming that you had contact with lots of celebrities that were able to come in, and maybe he had contact with vendors, and Evan had kind of contact with a few people, and
all
of you kind of...
Evan and I have worked in the business and around the business. You know, my relationship with Fori has given me, you know, privilege and access to a lot of really lovely people who, you know, who do shows, and some who, you know, were kind enough to do shows, you know, because of a relationship. I know... Brad Dourif doesn't do a lot of shows, but he's, you know, family to me, and he kindly decided that he would do this one for me. And, you know, Eben has worked with a bunch of people. Eben's great at getting first-time guests, and, you know, once they're here, we were very, very, you know, careful to, you know, introduce them to how the business works and how terrific the fans were. And Craig Sheffer, who's a first-time guest, is, you know, a great example. All of the first-time guests that we had here were, I believe, are convinced that they want to do this more often. But Craig, in particular, came into the hotel lobby and said, "So, Craig, how was your first show ever?" And he said, "You know, I was a little bit scared." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you know, you just don't know. It's an unusual specialist market, and you don't know how people are going to be. But people are so, and he was searching for the word, and he said, "Loving." He said, "That's it. People are really loving." And I said, "Well, you capture the essence of it. You know, we're all a bunch of you know, outcasts, misfits, and freaks that come together, you know, in one of the most creative fields in the business, and you know, meet each other and network and just celebrate."
So, you know, you actually had a lot of people who you wouldn't consider horror type actors. I mean, you had Marky Ramone here. You had people who were known for stage work and screen work. You know, you had the Derek Mears, and you had the Rutger Hauers, who's maybe more an action-adventure hero than that. You had David Prowse, the sci-fi, all covered. You had P.J. Souls. You had Mary Warrenoff, who's a cult film actress, who, by the way, this was also her very first
cut. She loved it.
But you had, was it McCovney, the first bassist for Metallica?
That's right.
I can't remember his first name at the moment, sorry. But, you know, William McCovney, and... You had musicians, you had Wednesday 13, you had just a huge blend.
Ogre was really, you know, getting into
artists
the genre.
And lots of really, really cool people, and it just seemed to just gravitate. You know, there were tables for people here and tables for people
alchemy.
Here. It was great.
It's not all contrived. You know, there's such an alchemy to this. Part of it is Eben's love of rock and roll, and, you know, his personality is in this. My personality is in this. We both have a sense of who should be here and who we want to be here, but also there's that, how can we push the envelope to have the people we've always wanted to meet and who we think have a relationship to the stuff we love? Ogre, you know, writes for us, but, I mean, he's been one of my best friends for 16 years. He has to be here. You know, Marky Ramone, I mean, Eben loves the Ramones, one of his favorite bands in the whole world. And, you know, Marky had to be here because we know the relationship, you know, that between the genre and Marky. And even Jen, you know, Eben's wife, I mean, she loves Metallica more than anything. So, you know, of course McGovney had to be here, you know. And it just works because we need to push the envelope, and we need to, this is an inclusive form. We need to get as many people involved as possible. It doesn't thrive and it doesn't live unless a whole bunch of people come together to feed it, and kids especially. We made this a family-friendly event because we wanted new monster kids.
And, you know, in addition to the vendors and the great guests that you had an awful lot of really classic shows. You had an old-fashioned spook show. Mm-hmm. You had James Hong doing the Hong Horror Show, which, you know, nobody sees these things anywhere except at rare occasions when they do this. You had Matt, you had Orman Grimsby, a late-night horror host, TV host from Raleigh. You had just musical guests. You had bands, horror bands, and not-so-horror bands. And, and it just was really cool. I loved Philip Morris coming up here from Morris Costumes,
he's
telling stories of amazing things.
I mean, Philip Morris, who, I mean, Philip Morris and Don Post were here. I mean, those are two heroes of mine, unsung heroes. Yeah, those guys, you know, you may think of them more as, a, you know, manufacturers, but the fact of the matter is, who more than Don Post and Philip Morris have allowed us to be monsters in our lifetimes?
Those guys are
incredible facilitators of this stuff that we love.
And have been doing this for 50 years plus.
Absolutely, and, you know, I corresponded with Don Sr. You know, I made a mask for Don Post Studios in the 80s. I mean, it's part of the legacy and the monster family. And Eben is a showman. We consider ourselves showmen. You know, I'm a filmmaker, artist, performer. Eben is a filmmaker and an artist. And, you know, we wanted to see the things we love. And part of that involves, you know, getting creative people in a room to do what they do. So many conventions squander these talented people that are there. They may think that somebody like Dee Wallace is a film actress and she's going to come and sign photos because people want to see the woman that played this, that, the other thing. But she's also a performer. When we took her to the handprint ceremony we had a little homegrown handprint ceremony at the Haunted Mill. She was just, I mean, she just performed. She was exhausted from a day of work, but she came over there and she put her red bloody handprints on a board, signed it, spoke to the crowd, delighted everybody. And so did Richard Mall and William Catt and, you know, Camden Toy. And, boy, you know, it was just incredible. And Angus Scrimm, Angus 84?
86 years
86
old.
86 years old. He came out there for the fans.
Absolutely.
So, and on the way back, they said, why don't you guys use us more in things like this? So, you know, the assumption is that, you know, we're going to all bow down and say hi to these people. But the fact is they're where they are because they're entertainers. They're performers. They have creativity oozing out of every pore. And that is, you know, a delightful thing to see.
And I did have more than one actor and actress say, you know, we should have done a show this time. Maybe next year we'll do a show.
Absolutely.
You know, you had a few panel discussions, you had some reunions for certain movie franchises with different actors, but let's put on a show, or let's have the music out here, and then let's bring somebody on, because somebody may have done an album back in the day, and somebody still has that.
We have, you know, I work in the music business, too. I've been a studio singer for 25 years. I don't even talk about that with people, but I love music, and I love performance, and James Hong coming and doing his burlesque show, not once, but twice, was phenomenal, and the outpouring of appreciation for it really convinces me that Eben and I have the right formula in mind, and we fulfilled our fans' expectation of this show. The things that we know where our shortcomings are. Maybe we're a little overambitious, but I think that in trying to do 75,000 fresh things, I think we accomplished some really solid ones that will be memorable for people and that will grow into traditions that will really enhance our whole field.
You know? Changing the subject a little bit, you were the caretaker of Forrest J. Ackerman for the last 20-so years of his life.
Well, I knew him for 20-some years. I knew of him. I mean, I grew up reading his magazine, but I was...
You were his caretaker for the last few years.
The last years of his life, I was. I lived with him probably for the last 15 years.
What was Forrest J. Ackerman, aside from the people who know the name and know a little bit about what he did, what can you tell us about him that people may not know?
Well, you know, there is such a wealth of information on the Internet. Please do yourself a favor and look up Forrest J., no period, Ackerman. That man has inspired more creativity and art in our genre and the field of entertainment than maybe any one person. I mean, that's arguable, but I don't say that lightly. Forrest Ackerman grew up like all of us, you know, wishing for a perfect world where everybody was accepted and there wasn't judgment and everybody was creative and imagining a better future. That's why he tuned into science fiction. he loved reading about invention and the possibilities of making the world a better place. And from that humble beginning, reading these tales of imagination, he became, you know, a fanzine editor, corresponding with people, met his contemporaries like Ray Bradbury and Ray Harryhausen as a boy, and corresponded with H.P. Lovecraft and met H.G. Wells. And, I mean, there's nobody before he hadn't met. And he wrote, but he also paid for Ray Bradbury to go to a science fiction convention or helped people along and became an agent, published the first works of, you know, Bradbury, and published people like Heinlein and A.E. Van Vogt and all these incredible visionaries in literature, and grew and grew as a lover of things. And the secret to Forey was that he collected things to share. He wasn't a modern-day collector. He didn't collect things to possess them. Forey collected things so that he could show other people how cool they were. And that's how he began collecting stills and collecting little pieces of memorabilia, which then, at the point that he met publisher James Warren, became valuable commodities in publishing these pictures and telling stories about them. So it was just a whole legacy of sharing stuff that he thought was great. And in making Famous Monsters and sharing that stuff, he inspired little 12, 14-year-old boys named Steven Spielberg, Stephen King, Tim Burton, James Cameron, Billy Bob Thornton, Gene Simmons of Kiss, you know, all of these incredible people to go out and do something, you know? And they went out and they did something, and we've all benefited so much from that. I only hope that the spirit of Forey and what we're trying to do here will continue to do that.
Well, this should be a dedicated to Forrest J. Ackerman type tribute, every one of these. So what's next? We're done there for 2012. Mm-hmm. 2013, I assume, is already starting to gear up after a short rest to kind of recharge and figure out what just happened.
You know,
so what are we expecting? You've already said that you're coming back to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And
we love Charlotte.
Hopefully this will be year after year in Charlotte.
Yeah, we want to grow this show. And to do that, we have to perfect some of the things that we set out to do that we may not have done perfectly. But we also want to improve the things that we did well. And that means more live shows. That means more innovative guests. That means more first-time guests. And that means more involving the community. We want to have a fandom become important, not only in that we're creative people that make stuff and you know, influence pop culture kind of behind the scenes. We want everybody to come in and to see that it's not just another day of Halloween, but that in our genre, in our hobby, there's more creativity, more craft, more literacy, more of the tools that it takes to continue to create stuff that moves the world and gives people imagination and opportunity to think of you know, a better future for us all. You know, I mean, what are better morality tales than the classic horror films? You know, what's a better morality tale than, you know, not to mess with nature when you don't have to, or, you know, or some the idea of sacrificing yourself so that you don't harm another person. All of these incredible tales are as important as any of the tales that Shakespeare told that still find, you know, relevance today and resonate with us. So our whole idea is to continue to entertain, enlighten, and to bring as many people along in the ride as possible, because like Forey would say, if we can encourage people to make more stuff, that means we get more stuff.
Or as a man I knew once said, you know, life is short, enjoy it while you can. No one's guaranteed tomorrow, so let's go out there and be scary.
Excellent.
So, that was a quote by somebody that will remain nameless, but this time. So for people who may be interested in 2013, you can't go this year, you've missed it this year, what's the best way for them to get a leg up, maybe send in a suggestion, maybe they know somebody whose uncle was somebody from this movie or that? How can they either contribute an idea, or how can people who attended the show give you feedback on the show so we can make this more important and even better for next year?
You know, we could talk about ideas, and we could talk about, you know, people showing up, which I know you'll do, and the more of your friends that you get, you know, interested in coming, the better for all of us. If you get other people interested in participating, I mean, I can't tell you how many people came through the door saying, I'm curious, I'm a looky-loo, and left with a big bag of goodies that are treasures. And where else can you spend your money on something that 10 years later will put your kids through college? I mean, this is, you know, this is an investment hobby. You come in and autographs increase in value, and you know, all of these magnificent things are things that people love to collect and that just get better and better. But I think the main way that you can participate and help Mad Monster is to contribute something of yourself. And by that, I don't mean charity. I mean do something creative for yourself. Make a film, write something, make a sculpture, try your hand at something creative, because there will be a home for it here. If you create something you're proud of and share it, the worst thing that'll happen to you is you'll get incredible feedback from people that are as talented as you, and maybe even more experienced, that'll help you grow and move forward. And that's what this convention is all about. It's about seeding the possibilities for fun and creativity in the future, keeping your imagination liquid so that the sky's the limit as far as all of the things that you can conceive of, you know, for yourself, and also making cool stuff that gives other people great delight. And I promise you, if you make a movie and submit it, no matter what happens, the next one you make will be better. And I also guarantee you another thing. If you make something, it won't be the last thing you do. So that would be my main thing is be a mad monster, make something mad.
So Mad Monster is not just a brand name. It's actually a way of life.
You know, it could be. You know, it could be. It's our brand name, but we want to hear your brand name too. And really what this is, it's a playground. It's a playground for people who like, you know, things that are dark and mysterious and fun and glamorous, and you know, it's a playground for people that want to come together and maybe not be themselves for a minute, you know.
And in a nutshell, that's kind of what Halloween's all about, the chance to be someone else while retaining a bit of yourself in there.
Right. If you can remove that worry that you're going to be judged by people, and be somebody else, you'll never fail to surprise yourself at what you learn about who you are and you know, how many steps forward you take in you know, being a happy person in this world, and being able to contribute and you know, see that you have great creative potential. And oh, it's just a love fest, let's face it.
Well, those words of wisdom right there, we're going to wrap this up. Mr. Joe Mo from the Mad Monster Party, I want to take the time to
thank you.
Absolutely thank you. I know you called me to come get some volunteers for you, and I was able to raise a few. And I know that the guest enjoyed it. The volunteers sure did. It seemed like the celebrities enjoyed it. The vendors enjoyed it. You can't do anything but call Mad Monster Party a success. And Mad Monster Party 2, 2013, in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Blake Hotel. I assume at some point themadmonsterparty.com will be updated to reflect some of the goodies coming on for 2013.
It will. We want to know who you want for guests and what you want to see, and we're all, this is a collaboration. You're part of it.
And we will do everything we can to make sure that it is a bigger success than ever. Once again, thank you, Joe Mo, for speaking with us here. Wrapping up the Mad Monster Party's debut year here in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and I am out.
Monster a go-go into the night on the Big Scary Show.
Well, I can't wait another day until the sunlight fades away. Come with me, girl, into the night, haunted love. Come with me into the night. Come with me into the night. Down with me into the gray. Nights are love and death's our play. Come with me, girl, into the night. Haunted love. Come with me into the night. Come with me into the night. Come with me into the night. Come with me into the night.
Greetings, Haunters. Are you ready to face your fears? Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Happy holidays, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. I've been sitting around the Big Scary Show studios thinking about what I'm going to talk about on this episode. And, you know, I thought about it, and let's face facts. Halloween is our Christmas. But the holidays this time of the year come in a close second. Whether it be Christmas, or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or the solstice, or whatever you celebrate this time of year, it's a time for giving. It's a time for sharing. And in this season of giving, I've decided that since you all have listened to us graciously over the past 8 or 9 months, and have given us feedback, and have been loyal listeners, that it's time for me, the Unknown Scare Actor, to give something back to you, the listeners. So, on that special holiday, whether it be Christmas and you have a present under the tree, or Hanukkah and you get a present on one of those 8 nights, or whatever, again, whatever holiday you celebrate and whatever traditions you celebrate, there's always usually gifts. Well, you're going to find a small box with blood red wrapping paper from the Unknown Scare Actor. And when you open that blood red package, what you're going to find is your worst fear. That's my gift to you, Haunters. The gift of fear. No matter what your fear is, you will realize it come that morning. And you will face your fears once and for all. Happy holidays.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone. Is afraid of something.
Stiff Magazine presents The Return of MonsterCon. Coming to the Greenville Hilton in Greenville, South Carolina, July 26th through 28th, 2013. MonsterCon will feature celebrity guests including guest of honor David Prowse, comic and toy vendor areas, panels and discussion groups, special offers for local and independent artists, horror and sci-fi themed entertainment, the MonsterCon Film Festival, live music by the Graveyard Boulevard, Valentine Wolf, and others, anime, sideshow performances by Captain Stab Tuggo and Madame Maybell, late night entertainment for adults featuring single cell entertainment, and much, much more. For more information, details, directions, and tickets, visit MonsterCon.org. That's MonsterCon.org. Don't miss the return of MonsterCon. Order tickets now before it's too late.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. We'd like to thank Joe Moe for talking Mad Monster Party and Forrest J. Ackerman. More information can be found at themadmonsterparty.com. We'd also like to thank author, cryptozoologist, and musician Lyle Blackburn for speaking to us. More information about his books and music can be found at lyleblackburn.com. And thank you, Dog Soldier, for bringing us that interview with Casper Van Dien. Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs, thornwebdesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at hauntaudio.com. Von Caron Productions, Von Caron, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios, at screamlinestudios.com. We'd also like to thank the four ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane. Pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabidbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter at @bigscaryshow. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.